Hello, iPhone photographers. Welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast. My name is Keith Arp, along with Mark Sadowski and Matt Hoffman. We are your hosts. How are you guys doing this week?
I'm Mark Sadowski, and I'm addicted to Instagram.
And I'm Matt Hoffman. I'm busy eating Ben and Jerry's.
Oh, so jealous. So jealous. All right, guys, let's get right into the news this week. This week's news brought to you by...
This week's news is brought to you by the Stitcher Radio app. Talk radio, podcast, and live radio all in one app for the iOS and Android. But forget I said the last part. Listen to your favorite shows all on demand. Go to stitcher.com/tinyshutter.
Awesome. So in these aren't the phones you're looking for news, it seems as though Verizon has started directing their sales associates to discourage new customers from purchasing the iPhone and direct them instead towards a 4G-capable device. There's no firm evidence of this, no Verizon policy or anything, but David Goldman of CNN Money tested it on 10 different sales reps and reports, quote, "Next time you walk into a Verizon store looking to buy a smartphone, expect the hard sell on a 4G Android device." In each of the 10 discussions that he had, representatives steered him toward either the Motorola Droid Razr Max, the Droid Razr, or the LG Lucid, all 4G capable phones running Google's Android. And when he asked the associates why, the answers came in from some form or another of the reason being that 4G was faster than 3G. So in 10 times of doing this, each and every single time a Verizon sales rep talked him or tried to talk him out of an iPhone and into a 4G Android. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I can say for a fact that I think AT&T is probably in the same boat too, because for some reason, Apple and the carriers have this really weird relationship. I don't think the carriers really like them too much. And for example, my wife needs to replace her phone because, you know, the voice quality is a little soft. So she only has a few more months left on her contract, and I was looking to get it renewed early. And no such luck. In fact, the person that I was talking to, who was very friendly, by the way, it was really cool, but there is like absolutely no wiggle room with iPhone contracts. They just will not negotiate anything. We can do what we want. We can upgrade to a Android phone all we want. Best one, sure, go ahead, take it. But
interesting.
Yeah, there's just something weird about the carriers and Apple, and I am not a bit surprised.
All right, moving on. Apple released iOS 5.1.1 yesterday. The most notable fixes are randomly occurring error message that would tell you your App Store purchase failed even after a successful purchase. And the other fix is to the built-in camera's HDR feature that would sometimes fail apparently when the camera was launched from the lock screen shortcut. So I never had any issues with the lock screen shortcut HDR feature, but I did occasionally have the message saying your app store purchase has failed, and then I go and look at my screen and it's actually there. So I'm more of a nuisance than anything else, but that was one of the fixes in this recent update. Did either of you guys have the HDR shortcut feature fail thing?
No, I've had no problems.
I never use it, so I didn't even know that was an issue.
Yeah, same here. I do use the HDR feature, but on a rare occurrence. It's not something that I use on a regular basis.
I've been using the native app camera a lot lately. I've been taking a lot of strolls around the city, and it's just much quicker for me to use because I don't have a lot of time at particular locations when photographing.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I as well have been using the native app more than any other app. If you were to add up all the other camera alternatives, I've been using it more than all of them added up.
Yeah, and it's just a matter of convenience. I mean, I love Camera Plus. I swear by it, but I just need more time at a particular place to be photographing with it.
How about you, Matt?
I'm still doing Camera Awesome.
Cool, good.
I'm awesome. Stubborn, very stubborn.
All right, in real quick coming soon news, MarketWatch.com is reporting that the Institute of Electronics and Electrical Engineers, or IEEE, I wonder why they shortened it, has taken over and is building on the Camera Phone Image Quality, or CPIC, project from the International Imaging Industry Association, or I3A. The development project is designed to specify methods and metrics for measuring and testing camera phone image quality, enabling customers to more easily and accurately compare and choose camera phones and to ultimately enjoy a better user experience. This project is expected to begin showing up in a usable form for consumers in 2014. So basically, this is like there'll be a marking on a package, like the IEEE. Puts this at a 3 out of 5 or some such kind of rating, a 3.5 out of 5 or something like that. And so you'll be able to sit there with an iPhone in one hand and an Android in the other, and there'll be a number there, and you can say, okay, if everything else was equal and this is all that mattered, this is a 3 and this is a 3.5, or whatever ranking they're going to use, I don't know. But they're putting some significant effort into it, so that's pretty cool.
There's just so many jokes in there that I just don't know which one to pick. You know what? The best thing to do is just take a photo with each of the cameras, between the Android and the iPhone. Hands down, the iPhone is always going to win, in my opinion. I did that one time. And as far as ease of use goes, take a shot in 2 seconds with the iPhone. With the Android, you have to go digging around through stuff.
My guess in this particular scenario, if they're going to put together an image quality only comparison, my guess is that the iPhone probably won't consistently rank in the top. I think
it hasn't for a while. It depends on what review that you look at.
Yeah, I think that the iPhone's strengths lie in the image quality and kind of structured and supported behind the tech and the ease of use and all those other kind of things behind it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right. Moving on. Oh, real quick, for our two Android users, I wanted to mention that Instagram version 1.1 went live just a couple hours ago. So to our two Android listeners, if you go and Google Play, you can update to version 1.1. And the big bonus, you now have Tilt Shift. The Tilt Shift feature is now available for you. It's very cool. Woo-hoo. Yeah, adds a neat little effect. So head on over there and keep listening to Tiny Shutter.
We weren't being sarcastic. We literally have two Android users.
Yeah, we do. pretty proud of them, too. All right, moving back into my notes. In the Told You So news, when we started, I don't know if you guys remember our very first episode, one of the news stories was Instagram hits 25 million. I don't know if that was the first episode or the second episode, but just last few days ago, it was announced that Instagram has already surpassed 50 million. So in less than 2 months, Instagram has doubled the amount of users they've had. Obviously, partially fueled by Android, probably partially fueled by the Facebook buyout. But there's a bunch of little rumor mills and speculation pools as to how long it's going to take them to hit the 100 million mark. There was a cool little kind of graph on how long it took a bunch of different social networking devices to get to 100 million users, all the way from, you know, whatever it was, MySpace to Facebook and a whole bunch of different ones, and Twitter and so forth. So they're speculating that it could possibly be the one that breaks the record for getting up to 100 million users the quickest.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, right now there's a lot of talk about Instagram. I think it's going to plateau at some point very soon.
No doubt.
I mean, that's just my prediction, and I'm basing that completely nothing. So
with that news on the table, the the Instagram, Android, and Facebook doomsayers came out in force today as Instagram came to a screeching halt for more than 5 hours. Users took to Instagram's Facebook page demanding answers and hurling insults. And it was just funny. The comments that were hitting Facebook at a fairly decent rate. You know, like, you suck, and I told you this Facebook thing was going to be the downfall of Instagram, and blah, blah, blah. there was a few problems reported, and I experienced them. I'm sure a couple of you did. The feed wasn't refreshing, so my photo feed from everybody that I followed was like 14 hours old and wouldn't refresh. Profiles not loading, unable to upload photos, unable to download photos, unable to follow users, and just all around data not refreshing across the thing. It came back on, I don't know, what do you think, about 1:30 mark? Eastern time?
It kept going off and on for me, so it was hard to tell, pinpoint when it was working totally for me. By the time I got home.
Good news is it's working now, and the funny news is I didn't realize how much I used Instagram.
I am so addicted to this thing. So weird. I am so ashamed of myself.
Isn't that crazy?
I didn't have a chance to be on it during the day today, but I'm pretty sure that I would have had a meltdown if I was experiencing the issues that you guys are talking about.
No, that's good. I'm glad you averted disaster. It wasn't like I couldn't live, but I kept myself busy by creating a Instagram fail whale.
which is just, that was brilliant. I loved it.
Yeah, I wanted to get a post up on Tiny Shutter to see if we couldn't get any listener and reader feedback, and I needed to have an image for it, and the first thing that clicked was Fail Whale, but obviously I couldn't use Twitter's Fail Whale, but my kind of idea for what I designed was the Instagram cameras carrying away an Instagram picture of the Fail Whale. So, all right.
I was trying to draw red rum on the mirror or something, but I couldn't think of a proper palindrome.
I will in the show notes, I'll include an infographic from Mashable illustrating the their illustration on how Instagram has soared in popularity over the past few weeks. It's pretty fun, a little thing to look at.
I'll say one more thing about the problems that Instagram had. I'm surprised it didn't happen sooner. I mean, they skyrocketed it tremendously with Android coming on board and everybody else just, you know, tagging along. They went pretty damn smooth up until this point, and I got to applaud them for that. It has nothing to do with Facebook buying them out. This kind of stuff happens all the time. The fact that they went this long without a major incident is amazing.
All right, boys, let's move into the feature, and this week's feature is brought to us by some amazing Tiny Shutter fans. This past week in the mail, we received a bunch of postagrams from our Tiny Shutter fans. I'm going to read off a couple of them here. One from Kristen Garn in the focus group. Hi, guys. Thanks for keeping the focus group up to date on all of the cool tips and apps such as Postagram. So she sent an awesome picture of sky and some white flowers, and if you head over to my Instagram feed, you can see a picture of these. And the next one is Tiny Shutter. Here is a pic of my wife and I for the World Cup qualifying match in Rio Tinto Stadium in Sandy, Utah. Also a pic of our new daughter. Hope you enjoy, Alan, Jenny, and Alex. Thank you very, very much. The little profile picture is a picture of all of them, and then they're at a big stadium with soccer going on in the background. Next one here is from Blaine. Hey, Tiny Shutter guys, thought I'd send you a snap I took in Plymouth last week. Love the show, Blaine. Blaine is
that's the coolest name ever.
I know, isn't it? Blaine is he's a frequent user of the Tiny Shutter hashtag, and he does some really awesome HDR type of stuff, and you should check out the Tiny Shutter hashtag and check out his stuff. You should also be adding your stuff to Tiny Shutter hashtag. All right.
He was also featured on Instagram Monday on the LensWipe website.
That's
LensWipe.net.
That's right.
We do Instagram Mondays, and he was he had a picture of a giraffe that I thought was pretty badass.
I'm going to read one more, and then we'll get on with that thing that we do. Thanks for producing such an awesome podcast. I just got an iPhone for the first time and have loved playing with the camera. This is Glass in Tacoma, Washington. And a very cool picture of, looks like some stained glass and in the form of some sea life, possibly. Very cool picture. All right. So here, before we move into the feature, I want to remind you guys that we still have some Postagram promo codes available for the Tiny Shutter listeners. If you go to Postagram and you use promo code TINYSHUTTER, you can get 2 free postagrams to send out. And I'm going to set this up right now. I'm going to go rogue right now and set this up. If you send one of those postagrams to the Tiny Shutter, and you can get us by going to postagram.com/TinyShutter, postagramapp.com/TinyShutter, you can put your information in there. It will add us to your address book. And if you send us a postagram within the next few weeks, I will add you into the drawing that I am going to have for the Belkin iPhone shutter grip.
What?
Yeah.
You're going rogue, man.
So if you send us, if you've already sent us one, then obviously you're already entered. And the other way to get entered is to join the Facebook group. So head over to facebook.com/TinyShutter. If you do both, then you have 2 chances to win. All right. So send us a postagram for a chance to win, and send us a... And head over to facebook.com/TinyShutter and like us on Facebook, and you have a second chance to win as well.
Very cool.
That's very generous.
Yeah, yeah, and that's I don't know. I'm thinking 3 weeks. I'm not gonna put a deadline on it right now because I just went rogue and just thought of it just now. So, moving into our feature, it happens to be my review of the Belkin iPhone shutter grip that I purchased from Photo Jojo.
What a coincidence.
I got this last 2 weeks ago from Photo Jojo. I got it at the same time as the Easy Macro Cell Band, I think is the exact proper name. And I was, first of all, ecstatic with the Easy Macro Cell Band. You can see my review for that over on tinyshutter.com. As for the Belkin iPhone shutter grip, not as ecstatic. Let me start off with the pros. It's fairly comfortable. It's, as far as having a shutter grip, it's definitely more functional and usable than taking a picture in the traditional iPhone manner, or even in the manner of using the volume button. It's definitely very camera-like, holding it, using your index finger. It's definitely ergonomic. It's not as ergonomic as I think they could have made it, but it's more ergonomic than not having it on at all. The other benefit to it is that when you plug it in, when you install it, it opens up the camera app, the Belkin Action live action camera app right away. So if you put this on, boom, bang, you're pretty much ready to go in a fairly short period of time. So that's nice. That kind of ends the pros.
That's the good news.
Yeah, that's the good news. And you know what? There's only one con. To be honest with you, there's really only one con. I had...
And he's in Star Trek, too.
Con!
I wish I had that soundbite.
I actually had the price listed as a pro because I originally felt like the price really was a reasonable price and definitely would be on the pro list. The problem is that I took it off the pro list because of the con. The con is, and here it is, the grip can only be used with the Belkin Action camera app from the App Store. It's a free app, so that's cool, but it's a huge drawback. And it's a drawback because that's the only app you can use this shutter grip for. Now, if the Belkin live action camera app was a moderately decent camera app, then that's fine. It would be better than it is. But this is by far the most basic implementation of a camera app you can possibly imagine. More basic even than the camera app that you get thrown into on like Twitter or something. If it says, do you want to use your camera roll or would you like to take a picture now? And you select take a picture now and you get iPhone's like generic take a picture thing. This is more generic than that.
Wow.
The only thing it gives you is a timed release, and you can choose from either 5 seconds or 10 seconds. And I think that was an afterthought. I mean, and this is just me being mean, but because the grip comes with a tripod mount, they had to have a reason for that tripod mount to be there. And so there is a timed shutter release that you can choose either 5 seconds or 10 seconds. And that's it. That it has single touch to focus / expose, I'm assuming, but it's clunky. The app itself is glitchy. I've read reports of it crashing incessantly on people. So my suggestion, and I finished up my review on the site, my final thoughts are, hold off on buying this app, period. End of story. Don't buy it right now. Wait until Belkin does what they should have done, which is provide a more full-featured app with a feature set more resembling of something that should be included with such a good product like the Grip pretty much is. You know, anything to come along. I mean, even HDR they don't have. I mean, anything to kind of improve upon this. Some maybe slow shutter stuff, some HDR stuff, you know, the average cam kind of ideas.
How does this compare to the native app, in your opinion? Like the Belkin camera app to the native one. I mean, HDR aside,
you can't lock focus. You can't lock your exposure. It's a weaker app, in my opinion.
Yeah,
it just doesn't. It just doesn't feel good.
They have a lot of catching up to do.
Basically, and so this is the way I kind of finished off my review, is basically what you're doing is by buying this $40 Grip, the only thing you can do is turn your iPhone into a cheap $40 point and shoot.
Interesting.
And that's what you can do. It does that good. I mean, if what you want to do is walk around taking some snapshots, then that's good. I mean, obviously you can still do creative stuff with composition and things like that, but I mean, it's extremely limited, and it's fairly frustrating that it's just such a weak app. You would expect, the way things have come, and if they're kind of adding it on to a really decent product, which is the Grip really is a decent product. And I have to admit, I fully assume that they will be updating this app. You know what I mean? I'm assuming that this app will come with some updates, and it will include, you know, it'll include HDR, it'll include a slower shutter, you know, time lapse. That's another thing that's probably pretty darn easy to add into this app. It's got a tripod mount, so it would be a perfect addition to this. You know, those types of things. I really think that the app will get updated, and I think that in their defense, that if they do that, then it's a really decent product. I mean, it's nice, it's comfortable, it's definitely more of a usable situation. The other thing to think about too, is some of the iPhone 5 rumors speculating that they're going to have a different pin set for the plug. And if that's the case, then this won't work on anything. It won't work on the iPhone 5 if that's actually the case. I forgot to mention one other pro, and this really is a neat pro too, is the ability to go from still shooting to video shooting and back again, and all you have to do is touch the button. There's one button for still shots and there's one button for video recording. So that's really convenient. It's a really well-built thing, and I think that once the app is updated, it'll be a nice little thing to have. And I'm sure that the app is going to get updated. I'm not so sure, positive. I don't know. Nobody said, hey, we're updating it, but I believe that would be in their best interest, and I'm sure that'll come along. All right, boys, let's move into our next little segment here. We have another listener question. Matt, would you like to read that for us?
No problem. Hi, Keith and crew. It's the iPhone Farmer here. Just thought I would put out a question for the show. Maybe y'all could help me out. I need to find a tripod mount for my iPhone that will work with my Mophie Juice Pack Plus. I don't want to have to pull the iPhone out of the case every time I want to use one of the other mounts I've seen. Love the show. Any help will be appreciated. Thanks, Stacy.
Nice. At iPhone Farmer on Instagram. Very awesome photography.
Yep. Yes, without a doubt. One of my favorites right now.
So when this question first came in, I was like, I instantly said, okay, I got the answer, but let's go ahead and do some more research. So did you guys come up with anything?
Yes. I actually did a little search on the case, and it doesn't look that much bigger than normal mounts.
Somebody I work with actually has the case. It's very slender. It's a really, really attractive and comfortable case.
Right. So something that's very easy to use, actually, I'm holding it up in front for the focus group here. This little tripod mount came with my telephoto lens, and it's very easy. It stretches out pretty nicely. It has a lot of wiggle room for probably even the thickest iPhone case. So I would suggest something like this, and you get a nice telephoto lens out of it.
What if the bigger thing about the Mophie juice pack is that it's got, it's like thicker. Is there enough of a curve on that mount there to hold it? Hold it up against.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're looking
at. Oh yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, you got plenty of room. I'm putting it down on my iPhone right now, and you have a lot of. You could fit two iPhones on this thing.
So that came with your telephoto kit. What was the price point on that?
I believe it was like $35, and I got it from Photo Jojo.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't remember it, but it is on the Tiny Shutter website.
Right.
TinyShutter.com.
Right. There's a link to that on the Tiny Shutter. Absolutely. If you search for if you go to the reviews tab, and it's probably only two or three back on the reviews tab for the for Mark's review of the telephoto lens. Did you come up with anything, Matt?
I did, actually. Well, disclaimer, I'm not 100% sure this will work with the Mophie juice pack, but I think it will. It's on Adorama's photography gear store. It's called the Capta tripod mount, spelled C-A-P-T-A. And basically, the tripod mount screws in, and then your phone just kind of sits in it. It doesn't really grip onto the phone, so I guess depending on what you want to do, it might not be the most secure.
It looks kind of cool. I think that looks pretty sweet. It looks pretty secure.
I don't have a picture of it. So rather than mention the two that I searched for and found, I will just add those into the show notes. I came up with two, one similar-ish in function to what Mark was discussing, and it's $12.50, and one more similar to what Matt was talking about, and it is $20. But I'll tell you, what occurred to me first was a Manfrotto Super Clamp. So what it is it's a piece of hardware that comes with like story poles or other kind of grip. It's a really kind of beefy clamp, not even remotely specifically used for an iPhone. But I started using one to use as a tripod mount for my iPhone because I can open it up. I can use the iPhone for whatever I want. I can leave the Super Clamp on my tripod, and then when I want to stick the iPhone back on the tripod, I just put it into the clamp and just gently tighten it down. It's got little rubber feet on it. You don't have to crank on this thing. You just kind of just a light snug up on it. The rubber feet grab it, and it's in there solid. And that's what I've been using for a while now to mount my iPhone to my tripod.
Nice.
Yeah, it works out really well, and I already had them, so it doesn't cost me anything. If you wanted to go out and buy a Super Clamp, there's two things you could do. You could probably get them on eBay or Craigslist fairly cheap in the $20 to $25 range. I believe that if you want to buy them brand new from either Adorama or B&H or whatever, you're probably looking at closer to $35 for it. But it does have all sorts of other functions. If you do other kinds of photography like DSLR photography and stuff like that, you can use it to hold different studs for it from Manfrotto. Can hold clamps, it can hold umbrellas or modifiers, and you can clamp to tons and tons of stuff. It's very, very useful, even aside from iPhonography, obviously. So I'll put a link to one of those in the show note for you as well.
Awesome.
So real quick, guys, let's blast through focus points and get out of here. Matt, do you have a focus point?
I do.
Go for it.
Alrighty. So I think a few weeks ago we covered Photoshop Touch for iPad and iPhone. I have an app today. It's kind of similar to Photoshop. It's called FilterStorm, and I've been using this quite a bit recently to make some adjustments to some of my photos. This app is pretty similar to Photoshop in that you could work with layers, and you could do all the usual editing that you could do in Photoshop, like sharpness, saturation, white balance, all that kind of stuff. But I think my favorite thing about this app is the ability to work in layers. So for instance, I took a picture just a couple days ago of my wife when we were kayaking, and she was in her kayak kind of by the edge of the lake in the shade of some trees. And I took the photo with I think Camera Awesome, and I ended up really blowing out the sky. So in FilterStorm, I was basically able to add a gradient and add some contrast to the sky just by applying a mask to it, and it really looks like a well-balanced photo now. So Filter Storm's definitely something to check out. It is kind of expensive for an app. It's $3.99 in the app store.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
I know. It did just have an update last Friday, and I've noticed that there's a lot of people saying the app crashes now, but I've used it a whole bunch of times since then, and I haven't had any problems. So I still say you should check it out.
So for my focus point this week, I stumbled onto a little online forum that actually has a really cool iPhone app, a very functional iPhone app. It's not really cool. But anyway, it's www.mobitog.com, M-O-B-I-T-O-G.com. And basically, it's a online forum. It's just like a classic forum, but specifically for iPhone photography. Very open, very welcoming. Everybody's very nice and share worthy and all that kind of stuff. So I thought it was cool. I'm going to hang out there and do a little bit of reading, do a little bit of sharing. And if anybody has the urge for conversation in the form of iPhone photography conversation and looking for an outlet, then this might be the place for it. So it's www.mobitog.com, mobitog.com.
But really, you should just be going to tinyshutter.com and leaving comments in.
Yeah. Just head over to the tinyshutter.com and tell us how you really don't want to go anywhere else.
Tiny Shutter is a brand, people.
We're working it here, folks. All right, let's wind it up. Real quick, I wanted to mention one last time, Postagram. Go there, postagram/tinyshutter will get you two free. Actually, that will get you our address. And then when you're filing out or whatnot, if you use our promo code tinyshutter, you get two free. If you send us one, you're entered into the contest or the drawing to win the iPhone Shutter Grip. And if you go and like us on Facebook, same deal. I will also add you, and you can be added twice if you do that. And it's not open to employees of Tiny Shutter, Matt and Mark.
Oh, darn it.
All right, folks, let's wind it up. Matt, where can they find you on Instagram?
I am at M Hoffman Photo.
And Mark?
You guys can all find me on Instagram by username LensWipe.
And I am username Keith_Tharp. And that's it for this show. Make sure you tune back in next week. Head over to iTunes and give us a great comment and a 5-star review. And thank you very much. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Awesome.
I'm seriously addicted to Instagram.
Me too.
I'm checking it right now.
Either I'm older, Motorola. All right, guys, let's wind it up. Matt, where the...
That's okay. I'm intimidated.
The heck is going on back there?
I don't know. Who
I don't think that's
that?
You. Huh.
It's not me.
Thanks for bringing that to a screeching halt.
No problem. Don't ever say Coolio again.
Okay. There's no like breaking the ice with this show. Along with Mark Sadowski and Matt Hoffman, we are your guests.
We are.
After all, this is France.
I don't want to have a pull on the iPhone of Jesus Christ. I'm always all of a sudden I'm illiterate.
You know what? I suck. So I don't have my notes in front of me, but what I clearly I don't have my fucking notes in front of me.
What? I have nothing else.